Now we have a, we had one very, very special presentation who we're very, very proud of, those wonderful junior high students. And we have another very special presentation coming up now. We have a guest with us today who's not really a guest, but we kind of have to say he's a guest, okay? Because we have Father Mina Atwa, okay? And as soon as I say the term Atwa, the name Atwa, all of you know, of course, his mother and his father and his wonderful brothers, okay? One of them is clapping back there, very good, okay? Abuna Mina grew up here and was part of this church for many, many, many years. And Abuna Mina is a father for us, but even I personally consider him a brother as we grew up, you know, in this church around the same time. And Abuna Mina, about 3 years ago, 2 years ago? Five and a half, man, time flies. 5.5 years ago, Abuna Mina heard the call of God to go serve as a missionary in Africa. And he's been serving as a missionary in Nairobi, Kenya for 5 years. And about a year ago, a year ago and change, he was called to a higher level of service in the same place and serving as a priest. So Abuna Mina is now serving as the priest in the Coptic Church over in Nairobi, Kenya. And he's here with us for a couple weeks. So on his vacation, okay, so we couldn't let someone be here on vacation without putting him to work. So give a big light and life welcome to Father Mina Atwa.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I'm going to ask that we take a minute to pray so that my words make sense, because otherwise they won't make sense. So let's pray together. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you've given me, Lord, to be here and to praise you and to worship you with all my brothers and sisters, Lord, to see the body of Christ constantly growing, to see the body of Christ be so rich and so full. We thank you, Lord, for the services and the ministries that are being done in this church, and we ask that you continue to bless our churches all over the world. We ask, Lord, that your name always be glorified, that today, Lord, that you speak, Lord, that you are the one that gives us the words that you want us to hear, and that you be the light in our life always, Lord. We thank you, we praise you through the intercessions of all the saints who have pleased you since the beginning. Amen. I do have African gifts. I had to do this. I know Bishop Paul loves to do this, so I have to kind of live up to what he's doing. Because I'm going to ask questions, and I want you guys to answer these questions for me. And we have some nice crosses here. All right? So if you participate and you answer with me, I promise you'll get a nice cross and a nice gift. All the way from Nairobi, Kenya, okay? When Abuna asked me to speak, I actually was like, Abuna, what do you want me to talk about? He's like, whatever God leads you to talk about. And I was like, oh, okay, no problem. And I prayed about this a lot, and I was really thinking, what can I speak to you guys about? You guys are filled with knowledge, and you guys are filled with wisdom, and I'm, you know, some guy coming from the village, coming to talk to you guys, and I'm here to learn from you. But what I really felt was important to discuss, because this affected my life very much, is how strong is our foundation in Christ? A lot of people have come to me in confession in the past year or so, and have said, Abuna, you know, my spiritual life is up and down. It's always, you know, I feel like it's not constant. It's not stable. And I always think to myself, why is that? And I look back at my life and I ask myself, what made me unstable? What constantly brings me up and down in my spiritual life? And I realized that the honest answer was, that the real answer was, that my foundation is not strong. My foundation in Christ can't hold up against the storm. And that was the big problem. And I figured that this was the best thing to share with you, because really, if our foundation is not strong, if we're not built on the rock, then for sure our life with God will always be like this. And that's not what God wants from us. He wants to see us constantly doing what? Going up and up and up. But we keep going like this. And I thought to myself, well, this topic is great for me. So actually, this is a Bible study for me and a talk for me, not so much for you. But I figured I'd share it with you. Let me start by asking, what is a foundation? Any civil engineers out here? What is a foundation? What's a foundation? A gift. Foundation. What is a foundation? This is an easy question. Julie, your husband picked you. What is a foundation? Can you guys tell me? SS, right. So it's the base, right? It's the base of a building or a structure. Here we go. Clap for her, guys. Big hand. Foundation is a substance on which you build a structure on, okay? It's the substance that you build a structure on. And the foundation actually does what? Supports the whole structure, right? It supports the whole thing. So if the foundation is not strong, we know what happens. It falls. If a storm comes, or if there's a tornado, if there's a hurricane, if there's, you know, even strong winds sometimes, if the foundation is not strong, it falls over and it topples. But if the foundation is deep, if the foundation is sure, if the foundation is good, what happens? That structure doesn't fall. You see a lot of times, you know, especially down south when we have these tornadoes and all these things that are happening, that some buildings will stay up, others end up just falling over. And the reason is because the foundation is not strong. That the storm has come and it wasn't able to stand against the storm. But the foundation, the structure that we're going to talk about today is not the building, but we're going to talk about us as the structure. And the Bible, if we can open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Who can read for us out there? Does anyone want to read? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Anyone? Mine is the King James Version, so it's going to be thou, thee, you know. So someone just read. There it is. Somebody read, please. Yes. Okay, let's open 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16.
Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?
1 Corinthians 3:9. 1 Corinthians 3:9.
For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building.
Okay, and the last one is 1 Peter 2:5. 1 Peter 2:5.
You also, as living stones, are being built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
So all of these verses here make it very clear for us that our lives are what? Spiritual structures. They're spiritual structures that need to be what? To be built on a solid rock. They cannot be built on, you know, sand or clay or gravel or any of these things, because when that happens, when the storm comes, what will happen? We will fall. And what is the best structure? I actually said it. What is the best structure to build on? What is the best structure? Solid rock, right? It's called bedrock, right? So any kind of solid rock is the best structure to build on. But the problem is, we too often want to use shortcuts. We don't want to build on the solid rock because we want to save money. We want to save time. We want a shortcut in life. But the reality is, when we use these shortcuts, at the end of the day, these shortcuts end up costing us more. And I'm telling you this as someone from Kenya who's lived with Bishop Paul for a long time. Bishop Paul likes to build, and he likes to build a lot. But the problem is, his buildings always come up very fast. And people are like, how is this happening? I don't understand. Well, the reason is because most of the time, and I hope this isn't taping, otherwise I won't have a job when I go back home. So the problem is, most of the time when we build up so fast, and then after some time we find that there's cracks in the walls and I don't know what, because some strong storm came, it's because we're not digging deep enough. We're not going down to solid rock. We're not using solid rock as our foundation. And it's very clear in our spiritual life that when we don't build our foundation on Christ, we will crack. We will break 100%. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Over time, with a storm, with anything that will come and go, you will fall over. You'll find yourself face first in the sand. And the reason is because we have not built on the rock. We keep building on materialistic things. We keep building on traditions. We keep building on, you know, culture. We keep building on everything else except Christ. We don't want to go down deep and say, Lord, you have to be my foundation. If you're not my foundation, then I know my structure will fall. My structure will fall 100%. I want us to look together at 1 Corinthians 10:4. 1 Corinthians 10:4. Whoever's doing back there, yeah. 1 Corinthians 10:4.
And what? All drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
And that rock was Christ. Guys, there is no other rock for us. There is no, you know, let me use half Christ, half the world. There is no, let me use half granite, you know, half sand, or half gravel, half limestone. No, it's one rock. And that rock for us is Christ. There is no, there. Is, you know, we too often try to compromise, right? We say, well, 50-50, you know, or fine, not 50-50, 90-10. 90 Christ, 10 the world. It can't work. Can you do that? Can any civil engineers out here, can you mix limestone with sand to build a foundation? Can you do that? You can't. It's not possible. Because the foundation will still be what? Will not be pure, and it will not be able to stand up. And that's exactly what this scripture is telling us, that our foundation, our rock is Jesus Christ. We all know, of course, in Luke 6:46 to 49, where Jesus describes two ways to build, right? There's two ways to build. Luke 6:46 to 49. Can we get all three verses up there?
But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great.
So the sand represents what? What? I can't hear you.
Doubts.
Doubts? Okay. But when we're talking about the foundation, the sand represents the world. It actually represents an unstable foundation. It's not stable. It's an unstable foundation. And what does a rock represent? What's the opposite of that? A stable foundation, right? The rock represents a stable and a strong foundation. And there's seven questions that we need to ask ourselves from this passage. The first question that I want you to ask yourself is, what constitutes a sound life? What constitutes a sound life? Let's go back to 47. Let's go back to 47. What constitutes a sound life is the first question I want you to ask yourself. And the answer is actually right here. Whoever comes to me, okay? So the first thing is that we need to have a relationship with God, okay? First thing for us to build a sound life and a sound structure is we need to have a relationship with God. The second thing that it tells us here is, here's my sayings. Here's my sayings. That means that I hear the word of the Lord, that I am constantly being fed by his word. And third is that, and does them. Okay? So that when I hear God's word, when I am being fed by his word, I live what I'm being taught. That I don't just hear it and, oh, that's a great sermon and, you know, it was really wonderful and you know, I read the Bible today and God gave me a great message, but then I just put it down and I just put it aside and I decide, I don't really have to live by this. But here, what constitutes a solid life is that we have a relationship with God. We hear his word, and thirdly, we live and practice his word. Too often, we don't want to do this last part. We want to have a relationship with God. We want to hear his word. But when it comes to actually doing it, not too interested most of the time. And if we're not interested, then our foundation will never be strong. Our foundation will never be solid. It will always be, you know, a little mushy, and a little soft, and a little easy to break. The second question I want us to ask ourselves from this passage is, can one hear and not do? Can one hear and not do? Let's go back to 46. 46. What does it say? But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? In James, let's open together James 1, James 1, 21 to 25. James 1, 21 to 25.
Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was.
So my question to you was, can one hear and not do? We as Christians, okay, are called to do what we hear. We are called to do Christ's word. We can't, if we don't, then we are doing what we're just saying, Lord, Lord. We're calling on His name, but we don't really want to live in His light. We don't really want to live with Him. We don't really want to be with Him. And those are the people that hear and don't do. We hear a lot, and you guys especially here hear a lot, and you hear a lot of great sermons, and you guys are filled with great, great hearing, and everything is wonderful, and it's sermons by Abuna Anthony, the best I've ever heard in my life, sermons by Abuna Paul and Abuna Choi, and you guys, I mean, the internet here is super fast. OrthodoxSermons.org has like 2,000 sermons. I don't know how much you can hear, but then we come to it, and we're not doing. What's the benefit? What's the benefit of us hearing and hearing and hearing, but we can't do? We never do. We just hear and we say, Lord, 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 Lord. It has no benefit. It's very clear that if we don't do His word, we can hear from today till the end of our lives, and we will never be built on a solid rock. Our spiritual life will never grow. It will always be like this, because we just sit and hear. We hear, and we hear, but we don't do anything. We don't want to change our life. We don't want to leave our comfort zone. We don't want to go out of our way to serve God. No, it's too much for me. I like my air conditioning and my nice car and my iPad and iTouch and iTouch, you touch, like Abuna said. And I like all these things. They're easy for me. They're simple. Why? Why do I have to give up anything? But I think we're called to give up. We're called to give up for the Lord, to give up our lives for God. I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm not saying that at all. Don't get me wrong, but what I am saying is that we need to learn that when we hear these words, that when we're being fed so much, God is going to ask you one day, you were fed more than anyone I know. What did you do with all that? What did you do with it? And what's our answer going to be? What is our answer going to be at the end of days when He said, you had OrthodoxSermons.org and you've listened to 2,000 plus sermons in your lifetime, but what did you do with it? What are we going to say? But I heard? So what? You can hear all you want. So what? If you don't make a change and do something with what you hear, then it's just going to be noise. Just going to be noise. And your spiritual life will always be unstable. Will always be built on the sand. The third question from this is, what is a man like who hears and does the word of God? Let's look at verse 48 from Luke. Let's go back to that. Can you go back? Okay, 48.
He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock.
Okay, right there. Stop. Okay. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. What is this? What is it saying? Did he dig like half an inch and there he found the rock? What? He had to do what? He had to dig what? Deep. And digging deep is going to take what? Time. And it's going to take resources and effort. And it's going to be tiring. He's not saying digging deep is going to be an easy thing. It's not going to just happen. It's not as soon as I put my leg like this, that's it. I'm there. No. He's saying to dig deep. The man who wants to hear the word of God, the man who does the word of God, has to dig deep. Because I have to get rid of everything in between. Everything in between has to be taken out. There can't be anything between me and God. Not my family, not my friends, not my money, not my work, not my nothing. Nothing can be between me and God. I have to dig deep and get rid of everything else so that I can get to what? I can get to the rock. Some of us have to really uproot. We have to go down deep and really take out a lot from our life to be able to just have me and God. Too often we put many obstacles between us. We put many obstacles between us and God, whether it's family, friends, jobs, money, whatever it might be. And he's telling us, if you want to be doers of the word, if you want to be doers of the word, you have to dig deep. It's not going to be easy. You can't pay someone else to do it for you. You have to do it yourself. You have to get down and dirty and go into the sand and into the ground to get down to the rock. But I don't think we want to do that sometimes. We want to stay clean. We want to keep our hands clean. We want to make sure that, you know, everything is neat and proper. We're afraid to get down and dirty and say, Lord, you know what? I know that to get to you, I have to dig deep. To get to you, I have to go down and down and down and completely be broken to come to you. I'm afraid that sometimes we're a little bit spoiled. We're a little bit spoiled with everything in this world, and I hate to use this example, but I have to. You know, I've lived in Kenya for the last 5 and a half, almost 6 years. And I love coming home, of course, to see my family and friends. But every time I come here, I realize how spoiled we really are, how much we have, and how much we're not willing to get down and dirty for the Lord. And people who have nothing, are willing to get down and dirty. Why is that? Why is that? It's because I feel that this world has kind of clouded us, you know, making us think too much about everything else. Think about my job, think about my family, think about all of the technology, staying in touch with the world and being on top of your game and being taking care of number one, and all that's what this world keeps teaching us. And because of that, we keep drifting further and further to the top, and we can't dig down deep. We have a real hard time digging down deep. The fourth question: why must the house be built on a rock? Let's look at the second half of this. Why must the house be built on the rock? It says, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Let's read together Hebrews 12, 25 to 29. Hebrews 12, 25 to 29. Who can read for us? Yes.
See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they do not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
Okay. My question was, why must the house be built on a rock? Why does a house have to be built on a rock, according to what we just read? Why? You guys sleeping? Sorry. Why must the house be built on a rock?
Stability.
Huh?
For it to be stable.
We want the building to be stable. But according to what St. Paul is saying here, he's saying, look, the storms are coming. Whether you like it or not, there's going to be a storm. You have no option. There's no escape from the storm. The storm has to come. Okay? The storm has to be there. So if your house is not built on the rock, then what will happen during the storm? It will fall. It will come down. It will be easily broken and you know, you'll have cracks in the walls and leaking from the inside and all of these things. Because the storm is definitely there. As Christians, as men and women of Christ, as His children, 100% there has to be storms. We can't go through life without any storms. It's not possible. If you go through life without storms, then you, I don't know where you're at. But there is temptation everywhere. There is sin all around us. There are storms coming from all over the place. Whether it's our family, whether it's our friends, whether it's whatever, the community, work, there is sin all around us. And if we're not built on a solid rock, then we will definitely not be able to stand during the storm. The storms are inevitable. They're inevitable, and it has to happen. Let's look at the fifth question is, what happened to the house on the rock? What happened to the house on the rock? Who can tell me? Let's read 48, the second half of 48 again. 6:48. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. The house couldn't be shaken. When we are built on the rock, and that rock is Christ, no matter the storms that come our way, we will be able to stand firm. We will be able to stand firm. The reason, again, we don't stand firm is because our foundation, our rock, is not Christ. But when that rock is Christ, it's very clear that the structure won't be shaken, won't be moved, won't blow over when the storm comes. Ask yourself, and this is something for you personally, I think for each one of us to ask ourselves, why is it that I always fall down during a storm? Why is it that I always, you know, just kind of face first in the sand? Why? And you'll find the reason is because your foundation, your rock, was not Christ. But that's a personal question, and no one can answer that for you. You have to dig down deep and really be honest with yourself and ask, why do I keep falling over? Why is it every time a simple sin comes my way, I can't resist? I can't say no. Why is it that my spiritual life is this roller coaster? What is the danger? Sixth question. What is the danger when building our Christian lives? Let's look at verse 49a. Again, it's what is the danger when building our Christian lives? The first half of this. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation. And let's open Matthew 7:26. Matthew 7:26. But everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So what is the danger when building our Christian lives? Is that we're not going down to the rock. We're not going down to the rock. We are building on shallow ground. We're not digging deep enough. The last and final question is what happens to the house without a foundation? What happens to the house without a foundation? Go back to 49 again. Let's go back to 49. And it says, against which the stream and vehemently and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. If the foundation is not there, then for sure we will fall. And on that day of judgment, he will ask, how did you build your structure? Was your structure on a strong foundation? Or was your structure on a shallow foundation? Was it on sand or was it on the rock? I gave you everything to be able to build it on the rock. There is nothing that you lacked to be able to build it on the rock, but you decided to build it on the sand. That was your decision. It wasn't his decision, it was our decision. We decided, you know what, I don't need the rock. I can build on sand. I'm okay on sand. I'm comfortable on sand. Sand feels good to my feet, but not to Christ. Not to Christ. He wants us to be built on the rock, and he has prepared us to be built on the rock. And we need to acknowledge and dig down to the bedrock. And the only way to do that, the only way to really dig down to the rock, is by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be able to do it on your own strength or your own wisdom. You're not going to walk out of here or wake up tomorrow morning and say, I am going to build on the rock. I am going to go down deep. It doesn't work like that. We need to come to Christ and we tell him, Lord, I need to build my house on the rock. I want to be dug deep. I want to uproot everything out of the way so that nothing is between me and you. And I can only do that if you give me the strength. I can only do that if you guide me and lead me and be my master builder. That's the only way it will happen. Is I need to come to him. Don't try on your own. Don't say, tomorrow I'm doing it. Khalas, I don't care what anyone says. Tomorrow I'm going to be built on the rock. No, it doesn't work. We need to come to him and say, Lord, I need to be built on the rock. I don't want to be on the sand anymore. I'm tired of being on the sand. I'm tired of falling over at every temptation that comes my way. I'm tired of constantly having a roller coaster ride with you. I want to be stable. I want to have a strong and deep foundation. Any questions? I don't know if you guys have questions in this session or not, but
we want to thank Abuna, and I want to tell you guys something. Okay, when Abuna was up here speaking about the foundation and the rock versus the sand, I'm going to embarrass Abuna. Sorry. Okay. I want you guys to know that Abuna was really speaking from his heart. And, okay, Abuna's here for a couple weeks and he thinks he's on vacation. Okay. But I know when I go to Africa, I don't get no vacation. Okay. So I really want to encourage everyone, okay, especially those who are younger and maybe kind of back and forth here. Abuna Amin is someone who can speak very directly, okay, from his experience. Because Abuna Amin has, so remember the first time I saw Abuna Amin, when I met him here in the church, he was wearing a Slim Shady shirt. And it was ironic for many reasons. So my point is Abuna Amin is not someone up here who's just talking, reading a script, okay? Abuna Amin is speaking from experience, someone who has seen both of those foundations and can speak. So anyone who has got questions, take advantage of him. Don't let him leave here today. Don't let him leave here thinking that he's coming here on vacation, okay? We're going to make sure that we take full advantage of him. So we thank Abuna Amin, really, and he's here for a couple weeks and probably take some time to his family. And we welcome his wife, Grace. I saw her somewhere over here, Grace over here. And baby Luke, okay, and baby Luke. So say hi to them and welcome them, and we'll stand for a prayer, and Abuna will pray for us now.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for the love that you constantly fill us with. I thank you, Lord, for letting us truly be able to build our foundation on you, Lord. Let us really live the words that we hear, Lord, so that when we come before you on that day of judgment, you don't ask us the question that we can't answer. You don't ask us, what did we do with all the things that we heard? And we are stuck, our tongue is tied, and we say, they were good. They were good things to hear, but I couldn't live them. I couldn't actually do them, Lord. Father, don't let that day come without us doing everything that you expect from us. Lord, you gave us all the tools necessary to be able to dig down deep. You gave us everything that we need, Lord, to be able to get down to the rock, so that we can find you as our foundation. Lord, help us to uproot and take out all the things that are hindering us from having you as our foundation. I ask you, Lord, that you bless every one of my brothers and sisters who are here, Lord. Guide them and protect them and give them a happy and a spiritual life always, Lord. Let them always come to your light, Lord, and let them always see your light in their life, Father. I thank you, Lord, for Abuna Bshoy and Abuna Anthony and Abuna Paul and all their great work and all the great ministries and all the servants who work tirelessly in this church, Lord, to expand the kingdom of God. That's our goal, Lord, is to expand your kingdom and that we can bring more and more people to you. We thank you, we praise you through the intercession of all your saints, St. Mary, St. George, St. Mina, St. Tecla, Abba Paul and Abba Anthony, Philippa Tier, Marcorios, and all the saints who have pleased you since the beginning. Hear us when we pray together, thankfully in a loud voice, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven.
Go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all. Don't forget the commitment cards for the pledges. Don't forget the sports ministry. And don't forget the Better Life concert, Coptic Orphans.